I want to speak to you tonight on we need more miracles. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. God did. I just feel that I didn't prepare to say this, but God did. And what Thomas is sharing there, we can do nothing, but God can do anything. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. I love those couple of verses. God did extraordinary miracles. What is an extraordinary miracle? I would just take a miracle, you know. But an extraordinary miracle, and literally it means miracles not of an ordinary kind. So there are ordinary miracles, and then there are miracles that are not of an ordinary kind. Now please remember, the guy that's writing this, who knows who's writing this? Huh? Luke, who is a doctor. He's a physician. So this is a man of science. And he is recognizing that there are these extraordinary miracles that God is performing through the Apostle Paul. And the word for handkerchiefs here actually means sweatbands. And it's likely we think that Paul, who was also a tent maker by trade, and he worked with leather, that he would have wore around his head like a bandana, like a sweatband. That's probably what this was. And aprons. And of course, in his trade, he wore an apron around his waist. And people were getting healed and delivered from demons, that's what it says, through these objects. Now that is unusual. And that's what Scripture says. This is unusual. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 15, we read about Peter. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. That's unusual. And then it talks about people getting healed and delivered by just the shadow of the Apostle Peter being cast on them. That's unusual. And it reminds me of the woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years, the issue of blood. And she reached out to Jesus in the crowd, you remember, and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed instantly. That's this type of thing we're talking about here, these unusual miracles. Handkerchiefs, aprons, shadows, the edge of your garment. Now, I want to say very clearly that we're not talking about magic here. And we're not wanting to feed people's superstition, because there is an awful lot of religious superstition around all over the world. It's not magic, but what it is faith. A belief in the power of God and the presence of God. And it, if you like, it's like a touch point of contact that these people had in their faith to believe that if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, if I can just come under the shadow of the Apostle Peter who walked with Jesus, etc., if I can even touch these aprons and handkerchiefs or sweatbands of Paul, I believe in the power of God. Not the power of Paul or Peter, but the power of Jesus Christ. But I think there's also something of the proximity of the presence of God as well. And what I mean by that is, well, Paul the Apostle, you only have to read his epistles to know that he used God's presence. He was sold out for God. He says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So he's a man of the presence, and even his very sweat in some way carried something. Peter's shadow was powerful, I think, because he was overshadowed by the presence of God. And of course, our Lord Jesus, he is God incarnate, isn't he? So, but yet these miracles were unusual. And I think what that means is, we're shocking as human beings. We want to package everything and we want formulas and we want to, right, that's what we need to do now. We need to get handkerchiefs, sweatbands, and we need to get aprons, and we need to start putting our shadow on people and all this. We try to patent the work of God. And you can't do that. You can't do that. And I'm not wanting to quench faith here tonight at all, as you'll find out in a moment or two. But unusual miracles are not to be expected. Now, what I mean by that is they will happen from time to time, but ordinary miracles are to be expected. And let God take care of the extraordinary ones. But we need to be going after the ordinary miracles. And presence is the key to both of those. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all about the presence of God. We need more miracles. And as I was contemplating this, how do we get more? If we believe that these are for today, and I believe that, and we've seen some miracles, but if we want more miracles, how do we get more miracles? And the only answer that I have for that is that we need to get more and more and more into the presence of God, because it's Him who does the miracles. And we need to have more faith, of course, in His power and His presence. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have a list of the gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is called the gifts of miracles, and it's a double plural. Gifts, plural, of miracles. Different types of miracles. And many of the miracles in the New Testament were healings. But Paul also lists healings, gifts of healings, another double plural, in the same list as gifts of miracles, which indicates to us that they're separate in some way, and there's more in a miracle than there is necessarily in a healing. And you can have a miracle that is a healing, but you can have a healing that's not a miracle. The Greek plural for miracle, sometimes it's translated in some English versions as mighty works, but it's dynamis or dunamis. So where do we get dynamite or dynamic from in the English language? It really means works of power or miraculous powers. The NASB margin says works of power. That's the idea. When God's mighty activity is displayed, something that God only could do. Now, we can have healings through medicine, and I believe all the good gifts have come down from God, the Father of Light. So we thank God for medicine. We thank God for doctors. We thank God for the herbs and the things that He's put healing properties in nature. And so all of this can be attributed to God. But what I'm talking about is something that only God could do. That's a miracle. And this word dunamis is used in Matthew 13:54 of the ministry of Jesus. And it says of the crowd observing Him, they were amazed and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? So, miracles were turning the water into wine. That was a miracle. An instantaneous change. Feeding the 5,000, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding 5,000 people. That's a miracle. It's creating something that didn't exist. And Peter said in his Pentecost sermon in Acts 2:22, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through Him, as you yourselves know. And often these miracles were deliverance. Deliverance from danger, deliverance from demons, casting them out. In Mark 9:38-39, there was a bit of a dispute among the disciples. John said, teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name. And they weren't in their little group. And we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle, you see that? A deliverance, he's speaking of a deliverance, a casting out of a demon, as a miracle. No one does a miracle in my name can the next moment say anything bad about me. So the purpose of all miracles is ultimately to glorify God, isn't it? But it says here that these were attesting signs to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice, these were not just attesting signs to the gospel. They were attesting signs of the gospel. What I mean by that is, they themselves were demonstrating the goodness of the God that Jesus Christ came into the world to display. The Jews, of course, would never acknowledge a prophet who did not do supernatural signs. And even Paul himself said these were the signs of an apostle. And so miracles are of a slightly higher order than a healing. Let me explain that more. I may be confused earlier when I said that. But a healing can be progressive. A healing can be over a period of time. And that's still a genuine healing. But a miracle, even though we use that term in different ways, essentially, to be really accurate, a miracle is instantaneous. And so a healing that is a miracle is an instantaneous healing. You with me? A healing can be gradual. A healing can be imperceptible. You could get prayer tonight and not realize till a couple of weeks down the line that you've actually been healed. Whereas usually a miracle is both instantaneous and obvious. That you know and everybody around you knows that it's been done. Another thing is, you can't heal something that isn't there. So if I come up for prayer tonight and I say I have a sore ankle, my ankle's there and it's sore. But a miracle is when God creates something that hasn't existed yet. Or he takes something completely away that's there and shouldn't be, like a cancer or some other foreign object. You understand? Now, Galatians chapter 3, I'm teaching you more tonight, and I hope this is helpful. Galatians chapter 3, I don't know whether you're aware of what the Galatians were like. These people in the Greek province of Galatia, they were believers, but they were starting to go a bit awry. They were believing another gospel, Paul said. They were in danger of worshipping another Christ. They'd fallen into the trap of what we call legalism. They thought that you could perform to earn favor with God. And there was a bit of immorality among the church there as well. But you know what's interesting to me? The more I read the Bible, the more I learn about God, the more I realize that a lot of our rules and principles and ideas in the church are nonsense. And here's one of them. We think everybody have to have all their ducks in a row and all their I's dotted and T's crossed before God will ever do anything among them. And it's nonsense. Because these people were really going a bit wonky and there were still miracles happening in their midst. And I hear people say, oh, I got healed in this place. And then somebody who's not that particular persuasion denomination, he said, oh, you could never have been healed there because they believe this, that, and the other. You know? Well, here in Galatians chapter 3, listen to this, verse 2 to 5, Paul says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain. So again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Or the hearing of faith? As the authorized in the New King James Version puts it. They still had miracles because miracles come by the hearing of faith, believing what you hear. And listen, you study miracles in the Bible and you will find almost every time a miracle is triggered by an act of someone's faith. They believe that this man Jesus can do something for them. It's the case with healings, but miracles as well. And that's interesting to me because generally, I've discovered God wants to work with us. And what I mean by that is, rather that miracles aren't like a show of force. We couldn't be trusted with miracles if we had the trigger. You know what I mean? We'd be running around and we would lose the run of ourselves. Our egos couldn't handle it. But the miracles that are done in the Bible show that God does not overwhelm people with a show of force, but it's usually in response to our faith when we take God at his word. Sometimes it's the faith of the sick person. The woman with the issue of blood I talked about earlier, Jesus turned to her after she was healed and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well or whole." Remember the 10 lepers and only one turned around to thank Jesus, and Jesus said to that same man, "Your faith has saved you or made you whole." Other times it wasn't the faith of the sick person. It was the faith of those bringing the sick person to Jesus. You remember the paralyzed man and four of his friends put him through someone's roof down to the feet of Jesus because there was so much of a crowd in the house. The paralyzed man was healed not because of his faith. I don't think he had any. But because of the faith of his four friends. It can be the faith of someone coming in proxy on behalf of the person that's sick. You might have brought a person tonight, like the four friends, or you might be here and the person that's sick isn't here, or the person that needs deliverance isn't here. We've got warrant in the Bible to believe you could come for prayer for that person tonight, and God could do a miracle. Do you remember the centurion? He came on behalf of his own servant. And Jesus ended up saying to him, "I have never seen faith in all of Israel like your faith." And he was a Gentile Roman soldier. And he came on behalf of his servant who was homesick. The Syrophoenician woman, her daughter was sick. And she received the healing for her because of her faith. Even in the Epistle of James, it talks about if anyone is sick, let them call for the elders. And so it can be the faith of the elders in your church, if they have any. You can call them. And it says the prayer of faith. And that's a gift of faith given by God. That's not just you drumming something up, looking in the mirror before you go out to that appointment and saying, "I do believe, I do believe, I do." That's natural faith. This is a supernatural faith that only God can give. But the prayer of faith will save the sick. Do you agree we need more miracles? Some unusual ones would be fun, wouldn't it? And I think God will give them. But let's go after a few ordinary ones. Huh? More than a few. I think there's more than a few to be had. But we need faith. Most of the church doesn't, not most of the church, not in the world, but maybe in Ireland, or up this part anyway, a lot of the church doesn't believe in miracles, even the ones that say they believe in it. And you know how we know that? Because there's no expectation of it. There's no expectancy. And that's just another word for faith. Expectancy. I prefer that word almost, because faith has kind of got, we've got immune to what it actually means, but expectancy. God is going to do something. You need it, and without it, these things won't happen. And even our Lord Jesus, and this is a remarkable statement in the Gospels, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, he was in his own hometown of Nazareth. And this is what it says, he could do no miracles there, except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and heal them. Now, again, I take that, lay hands on a few sick people. But he saw that as a bit of a defeat because he couldn't do a miracle there. And you know why he couldn't do a miracle in his own hometown? Because everybody knew the wee lad Jesus from he was in his daddy's carpenter shop. And a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And they didn't believe he was the Messiah. And it was their own. And see, this scrambles a lot of Christians' head. Oh, but sure, he's the Son of God. He can do anything. He doesn't need our faith. Well, why could he do no miracle in his own hometown? Because of their unbelief. In fact, if you go to, it's fascinating. Mark 6 shows us that. Mark 7 shows us a man who was deaf and hardly could talk. And it's in the same vicinity. And they begged Jesus to put his hands on him, some people, to heal him. And it says he took him aside from the crowd. Why did he didn't do that with the woman with the issue of blood. He kept her in the crowd, and he actually, it was quite embarrassing for her, but he called her out in the crowd. But why with this man did he take him away from him? I believe because of the unbelief in the crowd. He took him away from the unbelief. It's like in Jairus' daughter's house. He put out the mourners because it was unbelief, all the moaning and groaning, celebrating death. And then in Mark chapter 8, you get a blind man, and it's in the same vicinity, and some of them beg Jesus to touch him, and it says he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. He didn't just take him away from the crowd that was gathered. He actually took him out of the village because unbelief can penetrate the atmosphere of a town, a village, a city, and maybe even a nation. You want to think about that for a while here, wouldn't you? So faith is very important. Unbelief can affect the atmosphere of the miraculous coming. And it says in that actual healing of the blind man, Jesus prayed twice. First time he prayed for the man, his vision came back a wee bit and he saw men like trees walking. And then he prayed a second time. Now, we can debate to the cows come home what that's all about. I love to take out of it, I can pray 100 times for somebody if Jesus prayed twice for a man. But the point that I'm making here tonight, what was it that was that miracle was a little bit harder to come by because of the unbelief that was palpable in that area? Maybe. Healings can merge with miracles. When a healing is instantaneous and a healing is obvious. But miracles merge with faith. And so do healings. Faith. Faith, the mighty promise sees and cries, "It shall be done." Laughs at impossibilities. That's what Wesley said. Now, I'm almost finished, and we're going to give you an opportunity. There's going to be a prayer team up here, and I hope that Thomas's stories tonight have created faith in you. The biblical record has created faith in you, and you've got good people here that have prayed for a lot of folks and have seen people healed, and we have seen some miracles. But will you have faith tonight to believe? And will you be expectant for God to do a miracle? And sometimes for that to happen, we need to do something in receiving prayer. James says, faith without works is dead. You know that passage? And I know people who say, oh, I believe God could heal all right, but if he wants to heal me, no, I let him heal me. But there's a passivity to what they're doing and saying. They're waiting for God to zap them. And they won't go after it. They won't even get prayer for it because there's this very laissez-faire view that I just sit here and I've asked them and that's all I need to do. But you know, sometimes you actually need to step out in faith in some way to bring your faith alive. And one example that I'm thinking of is Acts chapter 3. Let me just read it to you. Acts chapter 3, or sorry, 8, verse 2. Sorry. Acts chapter 3, yeah, it's Acts chapter 3, verse 2. Some of you will know this story. It might be good for you to even look at as we bring things to a close here tonight. Lord, I just pray that as we read this, that you will create faith, give your gift of faith into people's hearts as they think of their own needs, their own inabilities, their own impotence. And Lord, that you would infuse faith into their heart to believe for their miracle tonight. Verse 2, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate. So this is a lifetime problem. Yours could be a lifetime problem. He's been brought to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. I love this. Peter looked straight at him. See the confidence there? And Thomas talked about authority. like that. Because a lot of us don't know who we are. We don't know who we are as sons and daughters of God. We don't know what has been given to us by Jesus in authority when he said, go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you've received, freely give. That is the gospel of the kingdom. That is the gospel that we're meant to be preaching today. A gospel of power. And he had confidence, Peter, to say, he looked straight at him, as did John. He had the confidence as well. And then Peter said, I struggle this bit, look at us. So he looked at him with confidence, and then he said, look at us. If we were to say, look at us, it might be a bit of a different intonation. Would you look at us? Look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He thought he was going to take out a big wad of notes to give him. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Now this is the question. What I do have, I give you. What have you to give? Well, you have a lot to give, but do you know it? Do you know what you've received? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now this is what I want you to see. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Did you see this? He didn't just get healed in the moment that he spoke to him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. There was something the man had to do, and you know what that was? Get up and walk. Faith without works is dead. Peter grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up, and it says, as he helped him up, instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. I think some of you tonight actually need to step out. That's why when, and we're going to do it again tonight, when I invite you, before you go to the prayer team, as we're going to stand in a few moments and corporately pray, I often ask you to test it. Now, not everything can be tested. Sometimes you need a doctor's test. Sometimes you need a couple of weeks to know whether something's changed. Not everything is observable. But some things are where a pain disappears, or a sense of nausea just leaves, or a headache leaves, or that oppressiveness or bondage or whatever it might be. There could be a thousand different examples that I could give you tonight. But the point is that you might know once you tested it. Take a leg or a knee or something, just moving it. Doing something that you can't normally do without hurting yourself, but doing something or poking in a spot that's normally painful, there might be a way for you to test it. And I've seen this happen, where it's not until the person tests it that actually something happens. Because that's faith. You're expecting something from God. What we do is, Lord, would you please heal my ankle? And then we're near afraid to take a step because we don't even think it's going to be healed and we don't believe it. And we're all like that. Sometimes our will is more powerful than our emotions. And we mightn't feel like it's going to happen, but we choose to act as if it is. I think God honors that. I really do. God did unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Oh Lord, that you would do some tonight. But we'll take the ordinary ones. We'll take the ordinary ones, Lord, if you have them to give.